Acts chapter 6 and verse 8, and I'd like to read down to the end of the chapter. Acts chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom of the Spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, This man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." And we ask for God's blessing to be upon his word, and let's commit this time to the Lord. Father, we thank you that we can, Lord, just come aside from the many things that have taken place already this week and no doubt will continue to take place. And Father, dwell on you and your word. I pray that you will help us to quieten our hearts. And Father, still our minds. And Lord, consider your word this morning. And that, Father, your Spirit will be able to work in us and amongst us. And, Father, do that work of transforming us into that image of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we all need, dear Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Something that has taken off considerably in the past few decades, particularly, is the use of deodorants. Now, you can have a different smell for every occasion. Right? You can be a brute when you want to be a brute, an old spice. You can be all the other things that you want to be as well, a strawberry, a plum, whatever it may be. But you can have any type of smell that you want and never smell the way that you really smell. And for some, that's a good thing. For a lot of us. But you could smell like a girl if you want. You can smell like a boy if you want. And it seems to be a part of our culture these days to cover up how you really smell and never let anyone know what you really smell like. And that's a good thing, I think, in many cases. Some have resisted that, but for most of us, thankfully, we do like to use deodorants. And although deodorants are a very good thing, they can also be abused, I've discovered. I know when I was younger, working on a dairy farm, young man, you sort of have a lot of smelly things going on in the dairy farm, but you don't often have as much time as you would like to have that shower and bath, and so you just keep laying different layers of deodorant on every day until you can't stand it anymore, and you've got to actually clean yourself up, but you just keep covering up the smell. I've been to camps, and boys particularly, you know, you go into the dormitories and you get overwhelmed with all the deodorant. You know, they don't want to have a shower. They haven't got enough time for showers, and so they just spray all this deodorant over themselves. And it can be quite overpowering. And instead of dealing with the real problem of actually having a shower, they'd rather just cover it up. Now, I found, particularly when I was working on the dairy farm, that you can only do that for so long. And then you just start to feel smell very stale. And you've got to deal with the real problem and have a clean up. But deodorants are here to stay. And the reason why I want to talk or just mention deodorants and the way we smell is because in the Word of God, we're told that a Christian is to smell in a certain way as well. And we find that over in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, if you'd like to turn there. Paul shows us how a Christian should have a certain type of smell about them. We all know that some smells are nice. We got home from the Christmas service and there was that nice pork, I think, cooking away, and that was a lovely smell to come home to. I love going and getting a new bag of coffee beans, and you smell the coffee beans, and that's a lovely smell as well. But we all know if you've driven past a kangaroo that's been hit on the side of the road and it's been laying there for a week or so, that's not a very pleasant smell as you go past. And so there are nice smells and there are certainly unpleasant smells. But a Christian is meant to have a nice smell. But sadly, too often, they have anything but. But the smell that we're meant to have doesn't come from applying deodorant. It comes from our very soul. It's what is inside. That's where the true smell of a Christian ought to be coming from. And that's why sometimes it doesn't smell quite as nice as what it should, because there's problems with the soul. But we see here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 15, this is what the Apostle Paul has to say. Now, the word savour there simply means smell. So I'm going to read it as smell. It says, "For we are unto God a sweet smell of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish." And so we are to have a sweet smell unto God. And in this chapter, there are a lot of things that are mentioned here that I'm not going to go into. But in chapter 1, we're told how the Apostle Paul suffered for the sake of Christ. Over in chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, we read this. "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we have had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead." And so we see here that he had gone under great persecution during this time. And then we see in chapter 2, verse 13, that he went into Macedonia to preach the gospel. And then we read in verse 14 of chapter 2, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savour or smell of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet smell of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish." And so as Paul travelled around and he preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered for Christ, but we see here that his words and his actions and his responses were a sweet smell to God, first of all. As God saw the way that he reacted and the way that he lived, it was a sweet smell to God. But as well as that, it was a sweet smell to other people as they saw him live. And so Paul gave off a sweet smell, and as we see there in verse 15, the sweet smell was of Christ. This is the key. People smelt or saw the Lord Jesus Christ in him. The words that he spoke, the actions that he performed, the reaction to the persecution that he went through was that sweet smell of the Lord Jesus Christ living in him and then being revealed to others when he was persecuted. And brethren, if we want to smell like anything, we should want to smell like Christ. That sweet smell of Christ. And a good question to ask yourself is, what do people smell when they're around you in that regard? When they see your actions and you hear your words and see the way that you react, do they, when they see you criticized by other people, when they see you under attack by others, when they see you in a very stressful and frustrating situation, do they see you giving off that smell of Christ as the Lord Jesus Christ has manifested in you, or is there something else that's not so pleasant? You know, I've used the example before, where if you get a tea bag and you put it in a cup and then you apply the hot water to it, it's only once the hot water is applied that it releases the flavour and aroma that's in the bag. Now, it's meant to be tea, isn't it? When you put a tea bag in, it's meant to be tea. But if someone had got that tea bag and got rid of all the tea and put coffee beans in it instead and sewed it back up, when the hot water would be applied, it wouldn't be tea that you smell, it wouldn't be tea that you taste, but it would be coffee instead. Even though you were expecting to get tea, you would actually smell coffee instead. And so the hot water that's applied to that tea bag would actually reveal what really is inside. And brethren, that's what happens when it comes to various circumstances that we go through in life. The temptations that come across our life, the persecution that we go through, those very frustrating situations that we have to go through sometimes when people hurt us as well, is like that hot water that is dumped upon us, or like that tea bag, and whatever is inside is going to be revealed by the way that we act. It's going to reveal really what's within the soul. Now, Christ dwells within, and Christ is the one that is influencing us and guiding us, and we're walking in the Spirit of God. Well, then it's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ that people see in us. We're going to act like Christ in that circumstance. We're going to act exactly the way Christ would have acted if he suffered in that circumstance as well. But if Christ isn't in us, or if we aren't Spirit controlled and being led by the Holy Spirit, well, then it's going to be an awful smell that they see instead. You know, for example, when someone criticizes you, that can be like hot water on you, isn't it? But when it happens, what comes out? Christ? And you respond in a loving way? Or is there criticism and anger instead? What comes out? You know, ladies, when you're at home with the children and they're getting very demanding, that is like hot water on you. What comes out? Long-suffering and patience, or anger? You know, when those at work start to talk some sort of filthy stuff, you know, that's like hot water as well, but what comes out? Do you rebuke them and walk away, or do you join in and then filth comes out of your mouth as well? When an immoral program comes on the TV, that is like hot water. That's a temptation. But what comes out? Do you sit there and lust, or do you turn it off and reject it? When friends turn on you and when friends hurt you, that is like hot water being dumped on you. But what comes out when that actually happens? Do they see Christ where you love as he loved? When his friends turned on him, he still had a love for his disciples and a love for those that even nailed him to the cross? Or is there resentment and hatred and you put up barriers and you want nothing to do with them? What actually comes out? Now you might say, well, if nobody criticized me, and if everyone did exactly what I wanted, and if the children just would learn to obey when I say something, and if I can avoid that person, if I can avoid the TV, well then, I'd be right. I wouldn't do any of these things. I wouldn't act like that. And so, it's not my fault that I'm acting like this. It's everybody else's fault. If everyone else could start doing the right thing, you know, I would live a pretty good life. But the fact is, these hot water situations aren't the real problem. All right? All that does is expose what's inside. That's all it does. You know, over in Matthew chapter 12, if you'd like to turn there, Jesus tells us where the problems come from. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, he says this, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasures of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things." And so, the Lord Jesus said, look, whatever comes out of your mouth, be sure that that comes as a result of what's in your soul. That's where it comes from. The people outside haven't forced it into you and then it's coming out. This is what's really inside you. And so that painful person at work that's frustrating you, they aren't the real problem. It's what's in the heart. And you're responding the wrong way. You know, that seductive woman, as evil as that may be, just exposes the lust that lies within that needs to be dealt with. That critical person that's hurting you and you're responding in a terrible way, all that's doing is exposing the lack of Christ and his leadership and control in your life. That's all it's doing. And it's true, you know, we can go around blaming everybody else for our sin. But if we want to see real changes in our life, if we want lasting changes, well then, it's not getting rid of the hot water and I have to avoid hot water in my whole life so no one actually sees what's happening inside. Now, if we want lasting changes and real changes, we have to change what's inside. Then it doesn't matter what's happening on the outside. See, for most people, instead of dealing with the real problem, which is their own sin, and confessing their sin, surrendering to Christ's control, renewing their mind through the Word of God and enjoying God's grace and strength through those times, they would rather just avoid the hot water. And so what they'll do is they'll change jobs to get away from that annoying person. Rather than showing Christ even during that circumstance, they would rather go nowhere near that person or talk to that person rather than showing Christ's love to that person instead. You know, they'd rather get rid of all the temptations in their life. They're going to live like a hermit. And that's why the monks, you know, they tried to live up in those high mountains and away from every little temptation they possibly could. But they discovered that they were sinning just as much up there because they had a heart that needed to be changed. And we can think, oh, if I protect myself and stay away from everything evil in the world, I'll be right. That's not true. We need to get our heart fixed up. That's the big problem. You know, some people say, I will never put myself in a position where I have to trust the Lord, and then my lack of faith will never be revealed. No, we need to change our heart. Because you can't avoid hot water. We live in a sinful, evil place. A sinful, evil place. There is hot water everywhere we go. You know, you meet someone in the street and they're going to be sometimes hot water. They cut you off or they say something. They don't treat you nice at the counter. You come home and there's hot water there because you're with sinners there and people won't always react the right way. You come to church and there's still hot water because people don't treat you right there as well. There's hot water everywhere. Avoiding it won't do anything. Changing jobs, changing spouses, changing children, you're right? Those things won't work. Now, if you want to solve the problem, you have to solve what's inside. You know, if you pour water onto the tea bag and it smells like coffee, you've got to change what's inside the bag. That's the real problem. And if you've got problems and you sense there's a lot of sinful, evil, rotten stuff coming out of you. Bitterness and resentment and anger and frustration and words that shouldn't be said and thoughts and actions. It's what that just reveals what's going on inside, brethren. Nothing else. And sadly, some of us think the solution is to avoid everything that may bring it out, but that's not the case. There needs to be a miracle that only God can do within us. And that's what needs to be done. Now, some people don't go to that extent of trying to avoid all the hot water. But what they do is they try to just cover it up for a time instead. They spray on what I call Christian deodorant. And there are a few brands of Christian deodorant, if you haven't noticed. The most popular one, it's called Putting on an Act. Right? You're a stinky, smelly, miserable person all the time at home, and everyone knows it at home, but then you come to church, and just before you hop out the car, and you're just this lovely person, you know. How you going? Oh, yeah, it's lovely to see you. Oh, yes, I'm praying for you all the time. Oh, yeah. You just smell so beautiful until you get home and it wears off, and you're stinking again. Until next time you have to put on a performance and then you spray it on and it all comes back. It's lovely. It's like those boys at on camp, I'm telling you. Sadly, that's how some of us deal with our stench. Some of it is making up excuses. It's not my fault. It's everybody else's fault. I'm not the one at fault here. If everyone else did the right thing, it'd be okay. And so you start blaming everyone else. It's my wife's fault. It's my husband's fault. It's my children's fault. It's the pastor's fault. It's everyone's fault but mine. And you try and show that everyone else's stinks in the world and I'm the only one that smells nice. Making up excuses or denial. I don't stink. How dare you say that my attitude's wrong? And it's just complete denial. You know, you have to go to some children on the camp and say, mate, you need to go and have a shower. I'm telling you. Oh, I'm okay. No, you're not. Right? And some Christians are like that. You go sit down and you say, look, there's some problems here. You're not acting like Christ. And how dare you? You know, people want to try and cover up the smell in very different ways. But sadly, when people start putting on the deodorant like that, they end up like what I did when I was working on the farm. You just start to smell real stale after a while. And you come across that with Christians at times. They are just stale Christians. There's nothing happy really in their life. They just go through the motions. They just do what they have to do, but they're not doing it out of any joy in their heart whatsoever. And it's because they actually haven't fixed up inside. They're just trying to cover everything. But eventually the smell comes out. And it's a sour, filthy smell. Nothing like that sweet smell of Christ. Now, in our reading, now don't worry, that wasn't in the introduction, all right? But in our reading, we see a man that was put under a lot of hot water. You know, Stephen, we read that those within the synagogue didn't like what he was saying. And so what they decided to do is they decided to get men to make up lies about him and accuse him of certain things. And so he was put on trial as being an evil man, this godly man. And in chapter 7, we read how Stephen responded to this. He first of all gave them a history lesson, and then he told them that they had murdered the just one, which was Jesus Christ. And then in Acts chapter 7, verse 54, we read this, if you'd like to turn there. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 54, it says, when they had heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And so we see here, when it came to Stephen, people made up stories about him. They falsely accused him. They didn't believe him when he tried to speak to them the truth. They wouldn't listen to him. They gnashed on him, and then they eventually stoned him. Now, we can call this a very hot water situation. I don't think any of us have had all that happen all at once. People make up lies, they won't listen to us, and then they start gnashing on us with their teeth, and then they start throwing rocks at us to kill us. But that's what happened to Stephen. He was betrayed and persecuted. And as the hot water was on him, and as he was suffering all of these things, did he curse the people that were doing it? Did he curse God and say, God, how could you ever let these things happen to me if you love me? What did he do? Well, we read there in verse 60 that he says this, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Wow. Lord, lay not this to their charge. He forgave them. You know, he sounded just like somebody else who was betrayed and persecuted and put to death. The very words of the Lord Jesus was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They didn't have an understanding of the gravity that they were doing. And the Lord said, Father, forgive them. And we see here that when Stephen had all this stuff dumped on him, he acted just like Christ. What did they see that day? What did they smell? They smelt that sweet savour of Christ in Stephen. They didn't see some bitter, twisted, evil man that was just hiding all these things within him and putting on an act. They saw what was really within his soul. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. And why did he do that? You know, over in Acts chapter 6, let me just read it to you. In verse 5, we read this. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and a few other men as well. He was a man that trusted Christ implicitly. And he was full of the Holy Ghost. What that means is he was being controlled by the Spirit of God in him. And what they saw that day when he died were the fruits of the Spirit. They saw love when there was no reason to love. They saw peace when he was going through such a terrible time. They saw meekness where he didn't want to hurt, but he wanted to help them. They saw the fruit of the Spirit of God when that hot water was poured upon him. They saw Christ. He was a man that was controlled and led by the Spirit of God. That's why he acted that way. And brethren or friends, if you're going through a hard time at the moment, you know, if you're maybe going through some physical problem, psychological problem, you're being persecuted by people, if you have been hurt by people now or in the past, if you're being criticized by people or have been, if you're undergoing great temptation or great frustration, can I ask you this simple question? How do you smell? Has the hot water revealed something in your soul that isn't too pleasant? And if it has, can I encourage you, don't blame the hot water. Don't just try and cover it up and put on an act, but actually deal with what has been exposed. And the Lord says the way that you deal with it is you confess the sin that's been exposed. And then you seek His transforming power in your life as you meditate on His Word and you consume yourself with His Word, so that we are transformed into the image of Christ, we're told. So that our minds are renewed. So that next time that happens, people actually see Christ and a Christ-like response. Instead of a very selfish, proud, or immature response instead. You know, I'm sure we can all sit back and think of at least one person that we just wish we could just get out of our life. Oh, just if they could just go, my life would be so much better. Could we all think of at least one person? I think we could. But could that be God allowing that person to stay there to keep revealing something that's wrong within your soul? And He won't let that person ever go until you deal with the problem within your soul instead. In fact, you could thank God for that person, for revealing that sin, revealing that selfishness that needs to be dealt with. And you may find that when you humble yourself in the sight of God and then He gives you the grace and allows you to and lifts you up, you might find that person isn't anywhere near as bad as what you thought. When you act and respond in a Christ-like manner. That's what we should be praying. Not, Lord, take away that person or that situation, but Lord, change me within. That's what Christ is really looking for. And if you want Christ's help through whatever situation you're going through, it won't start until you get to that point. Lord, start changing me so that I act like You. That's the point where He wants us. And that's when we can enjoy His grace to undergo and cope with those things. Let's pray. Father, we know that it's not till heaven that we have a life that is free from anything that will bring sorrow and sadness. We know it's not till heaven that You'll wipe away all tears and sorrows. Father, You made it very clear until that day You want us to act and respond in a Christ-like manner so that your name is glorified in our life. And that, Father, our reactions will be that sweet smell to others that need to find the Saviour as well. I pray that, Lord, if you have dealt and convicted with any of us here, Lord, they will not resist the work of the Spirit of God, but, Father, yield and humble themselves in your sight and seek your ways, I pray. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.